Let's just ask the Lord to bless our time. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and thank you for the privilege we have to be together and to be able to open your word. And Lord, just pray that you would speak through your Holy Spirit and give me wisdom and guide my words and open our hearts, Lord, to your word. In your precious name, amen. All right, so notes here. I'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 1. And I'd like to read the whole chapter. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind," and it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the seas." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So we see here that God spoke everything into existence, and it was orderly and deliberate, and God did it all intentionally, and he did it in six literal days. I've heard some people think there's a gap between verse 1, when God created the heavens and the earth, and the rest of creation. Just to clarify that, let's go to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11. And it's important in the Bible that when you see when you're not sure about things that are unclear, you look at things that are clear. And the Bible never says that there was any gap there. Exodus 20, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day, or the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. So God made everything. He made it all in 6 days, the heavens, the earth, and everything that's in them. And it was so easy for God. He did it all just by speaking it. And he did it orderly as well. And we may not know all the reasons for the order God made it in, but I like mathematics, and I find it interesting. There's a lot of different ways, orders that God could have done it in. So I picked out just 9 different actions or things that God did to figure out the order of way that how many different ways you could have done it. You take numbers and you multiply. So 1 times 2 is 2, times 3 is 6, times 4, that's 24, times 5, that's 120, times 6, that's 720, times 7, it's 5,040, times 8, that's 40,320, times 9, that's 362,880 different ways that could have been done. And, you know, if you look at each one of us, there's a lot of different variables here. I think God put each person here for the time and the place that he did. Sometimes we're not always thrilled with everything or every person God puts in our lives. Sometimes we might think, oh, I wish he'd put that person in a different time period. Or maybe I wish he'd put me in a different time period. But God made us here for a purpose. And he doesn't do anything by accident. And it's reading in 1 Chronicles recently. And 1 Chronicles, I don't know if you remember reading through the first 9 chapters, there's an awful lot of names. I used to just be like, oh, just glad when I can get through all those names and beyond to something else. But God put all those names there, and he cared about each and every one of those people. And 1 Chronicles 9, and I'm just going to read some of it. I'll start at verse 21. Zechariah, the son of Meshelemiah, was keeper of the door of the tabernacle of meeting. All those chosen as gatekeepers were 212. They were recorded by their genealogy in their villages. David and Samuel the seer had appointed them to their trusted office. So they and their children were in charge of the gates of the house of the Lord, the house of the tabernacle by assignment. And the gatekeepers were assigned to the 4 directions, the east, west, north, and south. And their brethren and their villages had come with them from time to time for 7 days. For this trusted office were 4 chief gatekeepers. They were Levites, and they had charge over the chambers and the treasuries of the house of God. And they lodged all around the house of God because they had the responsibility, for they were in charge of opening it every morning. Now some of them were in charge of the serving vessels, for they brought them in and took them out by count. Some of them were appointed over the furnishings and over all the implements of the sanctuary, and over the fine flour and the wine and the oil and the incense and the spices. And some of the sons of the priests made the ointment of the spices. Mattathiah of the Levites, the firstborn of Shallum the Korahite, had the trusted office over the things that were baked in the pans. And some of the brethren of the sons of the Kohathites were in charge of preparing the showbread for every Sabbath. These are the singers, heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites, who lodged in the chambers and were free from other duties, for they were employed in that work day and night. These heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites were heads throughout their generations. They dwelt at Jerusalem. And you see, it was important to the Lord, all these things. Even one that just kind of jumped out at me was in verse 31. This guy had the trusted office over the things that were baked in the pans. God cares about every little thing that we do. And he may not have what we always think is a super spectacular job for us, but the Lord has a purpose for each thing that he wants us to do. And you know, sometimes we wonder, what does God want me to do? How do I know his will? And I'd like to go to Matthew chapter 6. And sometimes we want to have some big revelation of, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. We want it to be super clear. But I think God has made his word clear in how he wants us to live in the little things. And I think if we serve the Lord in the little things, he will guide us in the larger decisions, and he will show us how he wants us to live. So Matthew chapter 6, in verses 9 to 13, we call the Lord's Prayer, and the Lord gave his disciples instructions on prayer, and I'd like to read that. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so when we're, the Lord wants us to pray and to seek his will. And we can learn a lot from these verses here. So we'll start with our Father. And God must be our Father. We must have, each of us, a personal relationship with him. In heaven, God rules over everything. Hallowed be your name. How much do we care about God's name? Do our lives bring his name glory or disdain? Your kingdom come. Are we focused on God's kingdom or on our own little empire, our own career, our own goals? Your will be done. Are we willing to say, not my will, but yours, even when it is not pleasant? On earth as it is in heaven, the angels obey without hesitation. Do we? Give us this day our daily bread. Do we acknowledge that our material provisions are given to us by God? Or are we trusting in ourselves or in him to provide? What if you were in a situation where you needed to make a selfish decision to be able to provide for your family? Who are you trusting in then? Forgive us our debts. We all have faults and failures, and it is important that we be honest with the Lord about that. as we forgive our debtors. Ouch. It is not always easy to forgive others, but we must remember what the Lord has forgiven us. Do not lead us into temptation. We need the Lord's help not to be snared in the temptations all around us. Deliver us from the evil one. The devil goes about seeking to destroy. None of us are strong enough in our own strength, but God is greater. And just go to 1 John chapter 4. And verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So we can remember, always remember that. Then yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. May that be so. Is this our focus? All the glory belongs to him. I'd like to look at some examples of some people. Let's go back to Genesis in chapter 6. And Genesis chapter 6, the world was becoming very, very corrupt. It was so bad. We'll start reading verse 5 of chapter 6. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. So we see that Noah was a man that honored the Lord, and he obeyed the Lord, and he lived for the Lord. And that didn't start on the day that the Lord came to him and gave him a special job. No, he had been walking with God prior to that, and he was just an ordinary man in a wicked world. And we see that God gave him a job to do, and he did it. And in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 23, a verse that I'm sure many of us have memorized, it says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men." And the Lord wants us, and whatever he gives us to do, that we do it as unto him. And that will show in our lives if we're doing it as unto the Lord. And that's a great testimony to people around us too, that they see, why is this person acting like that? I remember a speaker saying one time, he said, and he was somewhere, and the people around him, there was not a very nice place for a believer. And one time somebody said to him, "Hey, why are you different?" And he says, "What do you mean, different?" But they had noticed there was something different about his life. And People should notice that about us too, that in whatever we're doing, that we're not doing it for ourselves. And that may puzzle them at first, but it can give an opportunity for us to witness to people. I'd like to go over to Genesis chapter 12. And we'll start at verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. And I'd like to go to Hebrews 11 and read a note there about Abram. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So we see Abram, he didn't even really know what was all ahead, where he was going, what was going to all happen. He didn't know. He left a nice city and he lived in tents. He didn't know where he was going, but he knew who had called him. And yeah, God had a purpose for Abram, and he was willing to go, even though he didn't know all the details. And are we willing to follow down whatever path the Lord leads us? I'd like to go to Genesis 45 for another example. And Genesis 45... So this is what we're going to read about Joseph. And we all know the story about how Joseph was sold by his brothers into the land of Egypt as a slave. And he was a slave in Potiphar's house. And then he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He's thrown in prison. And he was in prison there for quite some time as well. It was 13 years from the time that Joseph was sold by his brothers before Pharaoh made him the ruler over the land of Egypt. I'm sure that it was not an easy time for Joseph. He went through a lot of suffering. And yet, in Genesis 45, verse 5, he says to, after he's revealed himself to his brothers, he says, "But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." And so, yeah, we see that Joseph served God faithfully, even through suffering, loneliness, and temptation. And he was not bitter, but instead, he rejoiced in God's plan being fulfilled. And I think, wow, that's really amazing. And God, he realized God had a purpose for his life. And you think of, when I was preparing for this, I had to think of the verse in Esther chapter 4. And Esther chapter 4, verse 14. Mordecai is saying to Esther, "For if you remain completely silent at this time. Relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And I think God always has perfect timing. He has us here for such a time as this. He leads us where he wants us to go at just the right time. And God wants us to be fully surrendered to him. That means not asserting our own will. It also means doing what he commands. And God has a plan for your life. Are you willing and excited about it? Usually it involves a lot of little steps. And that's a challenge to me, each one of us. Each day, when we get up in the morning, what's our focus for that day? We may not know what it all holds, but we ask God, "Lord, help me to be surrendered to myself today and to use me today however you want." And when we're surrendered to him, God can do amazing things. And yeah, he cares about each and every one of us. Like it if we can sing, "Savior, like a shepherd, lead us." Song number 482. And we're all like little lost sheep in so many ways, and yet, like Ron said, the Lord cares about every single one, even that 100th sheep that keeps wandering away. He's willing to go out and look for it, and how we need him to lead us every day.
Jesus, bless.
All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love to each and every one of us, Lord. And Lord, help us to be surrendered to you each and every day and to follow your leading, Lord, and for that you would use us to be a light and a testimony in this world, Lord, and that you would get all the glory in our lives. And pray your blessing as we go from here. In your precious name, amen.